Blog Talk Radio.
We cover all bases, face it, you can't erase us. Back and forth, watch where it takes us. Cultural topics and sports, baby, you know we got it. Always our response is amazing. All bases covered, yeah. Yeah, you know you love it. Our thoughts, they be off of the dome. First to the second, the topics, they change like the weather. Then you know we bringing it home. We cover all bases, face it, you can't erase us. Back and forth, watch how we shine. Cultural topics and sports, baby, you know we got it. Always our responses be prime. All bases covered, whoop. Yeah, you know you love it. No limits to where we can go. So just grab a seat. Oh no, this ain't MLB, but you know it's time for the show. All bases covered, my brothers, yeah, you know you love it. We get it, yeah, we going in. Yeah, we be focused like this is the bottom of night, baby, you know we ready to win.
Yo. Lou, I can't hear anything you're saying if you're talking.
Lou, are you there?
Mike, I can't hear you at all. This blog talk sucks.
Testing. Josh, can you hear me? Hello.
I can hear you finally.
What? You can hear me finally?
Hear you.
Okay.
Finally.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Sorry about that, guys. Well, what a way to kick the show off with a bunch of fucking technical difficulties. So.
Don't worry. My phone's about to die.
Great. This is great. This is just what Spotify wants from us.
Yes. All right.
All right. So let's talk. While Sam is here, let's talk college football. And I don't know if Sam's going to be joining us. If he doesn't, that's okay. We will still have to spin the wheel. But I want to hear your thoughts on Michigan, on the scandal, and Jim Harbaugh, and kind of see what you're thinking about all that.
Well. I mean, it's pretty bad. So
yeah.
One of the bylaws to the NCAA is you can't go and watch somebody's game and videotape.
Okay.
That's exactly what that Michigan guy did. He
okay.
got caught. He's been at, I think they said, 4 Ohio State games.
Okay.
He's been to some of the SEC games. I think it was more scouting of who they could face in the college playoff, right?
Okay.
So I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to find the signals. They're trying to steal. There's a clip from Ohio State's game last year with C.J. Stroud looking over at the bench, and that guy is literally right next to the defensive coordinator. He sees the signal, and then he relays it to the defensive coordinator, and they all say it's pass, pass. If you know it's going to be a pass already, that's plain as day fucking cheating. So, I mean, if you got caught cheating, what's that supposed to happen with the NCAA? I think if it's true, if they find out, Michigan gets suspended this year. They lose all their games this year, all of the games last year, the games before. They have to vacate all their wins. Jim Harbaugh's gone. I think he's leaving after this year anyway. But ever since he's been a coach, this is the second big NCAA infraction that he's had in 3 years.
Yeah.
So Michigan's doing something, and it's not on the reg.
So I want to point out a couple of interesting things that I've learned about this. On 97.1 FM in Columbus, Ohio, there's a show called Morning Juice. Brandon Beam and Bobby Carpenter are part of that radio show. Obviously, Bobby Carpenter, former linebacker for Ohio State. What Michigan insider...
Bobby Carpenter played right next to A.G.A. Hawk. I do know Bobby Carpenter.
So they had Michigan insider John Bacon on, and he's very well connected in the Michigan, basically like with information. Like, he's very connected to the program. He knows a lot about the ins and outs. He broke the news on Morning Juice that a former Michigan alum by the name of Jim Stapleton was leaking information against Harbaugh. Now, what's interesting about this is that Stapleton is not only a Michigan alum, but he sits NCAA infractions committee, and he absolutely despises Jim Harbaugh for whatever reason. Basically,
let me get this clear. So you've got a guy that is a Michigan alum.
Yes.
And he is basically throwing Harbaugh under the bus with all these and turning him in.
Yeah.
And I honestly think it's a good thing that he's doing that, just for the fact that if he sees it, you know the NCAA is going to come after him.
Well, he sits on the NCAA infractions committee. He sits on the infractions committee.
Exactly. So he's worried about them getting the freaking death penalty. You get the death penalty, your program's done for what?
Michigan's
four,
not
going to
get the death penalty. Not for this. If Penn State didn't get the death penalty for raping players in the locker room, Michigan's not going to get the death penalty for signals, for the fucking videotaping shit, whatever.
I don't know, dude. NCAA's got all the power. They can do what they want.
So I'm curious.
Especially if they don't like somebody.
I think Harbaugh, some people are saying that Harbaugh's kind of overstayed his welcome there at Michigan. He's got a frosty, testy relationship with the Michigan athletic director. He's butted heads with multiple people. So I don't know. This could be a way of Michigan forcing him out, because really, if you think about it, if he kept beating Ohio State and he kept going 12-2, 11-1, whatever, and maybe just losing to like the Georgias or whatever in the college football playoff, they were never going to fire him. But here's the problem, and here's what I will warn to all the Michigan fucking fans, before I get to my next point about Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
All you Michigan fans, or all you Michigan people that are sitting there in your fucking athletic department that are wanting a new coach, be careful what you wish for. Before Jim Harbaugh got at Michigan, you were completely irrelevant. You went through Brady Hoke, Rich Rodriguez, and multiple other coaches, and you were fucking pathetic. You fire Harbaugh, even if it is because now you're drumming up some bullshit reason. Good luck finding a coach.
Is it bullshit reason? He's flat out breaking NCAA rules, which is illegal. You are stealing signs from your opponents when you're not supposed to. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does not look good at all.
It's a tough one, man. It's honestly, it's a tough call. But I want to point out that somebody did a lot of research on this next point that I want to talk about for Michigan. I want to get your thoughts on this, okay? His point on this being about how Michigan all of a sudden – And we can talk recruiting, and that is one thing I kind of want to go over. But first off, I want to point out Jim Harbaugh's record at Michigan, his head coaching record, okay? He took over in 2015. That was his first season. He led them to a 10-3 record, which people thought was pretty good. I did too. People expected bigger things to come. He proceeded to go 10-3, 8-5, 10-3, and 9-4. And the biggest knock on him prior to the 2020 season was that he couldn't get the job done against Ohio State, Michigan State, or Penn State, the three biggest rivals in Michigan. He kept losing to two of them, or at least one, every year. Okay. Then 2020 COVID year hits. They completely just are abysmal. They go 2-4 in a shortened season. They canceled two games. People were calling for Harbaugh's head at that point in time. He proceeds to then go 12-2, beats Ohio State. Last year they go 13-1, beats Ohio State again. This right now they're sitting
at
5-0.
Here's where you're failing to realize is after that season, that's when that guy was hired.
I know. So let
that
me just.
Guy was hired
I'm,
in the
I'm getting to my next. I'm then, getting to my point though. I'm getting
okay.
to my point. Just. Listen here, because that's where I'm going with what this person said. So Harbaugh was basically a guy that would win 10 games every season, but they were going 10-3, 9-4, 8-5. He kind of had a record similar to that of Bo Pelini at Nebraska, where Bo Pelini would go 9-3 or 10-4, but they were losing to the elite teams. That was what Harbaugh was doing. Fast forward after COVID, 12-2, 13-1, undefeated so far this year. What this person is saying is he talks about when teams make a leap from being a pretty good team to elite national championship level, there are usually tangible reasons for it happening, okay? He cited a couple different examples. One example was USC, that before Pete Carroll got there, they were a mediocre, run-of-the-mill program. They would win 7-8 games. They were a former power that had fallen on hard times. Pete Carroll gets there, okay, and Pete Carroll emphasizes recruiting, okay? He emphasized pulling in the best players, and then also having a pretty stout defense. And what his point was being is he inherited Carson Palmer. But even Pete Carroll, it took a couple of seasons to get where he wanted to go. He started recruiting at a very high level, but they were 6-6 in his first season. Then they were 11-3 in his second season before going 12-1 and winning a national championship in his third season, okay? Then, but he points to, again, that USC made the jump in year three because he inherited Carson Palmer, and he started to recruit at an elite level, where by year three, it was coming off two back-to-back top five classes. So that was his third year, so some of those guys were starting to become sophomores and juniors. So the other examples he gave was Georgia. Georgia hired Kirby Smart. Georgia had been a pretty good program under Mark Richt, but they couldn't win anything big, right? Georgia was not the team that was winning national titles. They were a team that was always really good, but they could never get over the hump. Kirby Smart, it took some time, 8-5. Then he lost in a national championship game his second year, and then he went 11-3 and 12-2, and they were not sniffing the national title. After the COVID year, they had their best seasons to date, where they had but before 2021, they had had the number one, the number two, the number three, and the number one recruiting classes. So they had four top three recruiting classes before 2021. Then they finally put it all together, won the national title. It's also been fairly obvious by the amount of Georgia Bulldogs that have gone to the NFL that they were recruiting at a high level. His point being, Josh, what did Michigan do to become elite overnight? What did they do, Josh?
I mean, they have recruited well. I'm not going to say I think they've had top 10 classes the last couple of years.
Okay.
But they haven't done anything different besides get new coordinators. And they hire that one guy, and all of a sudden, their whole – everything changes. They were always good to win 8, 9, 10 games, right?
Right.
But they weren't elite enough to actually beat Ohio State.
You're right.
And then all of a
sudden –
You're
right. They weren't even elite enough to beat Penn State.
They didn't beat Ohio State. My point, they didn't beat Ohio State. They dominated Ohio State. And that begs the question, like, hold on a second. Ohio State's always had your number.
Right.
They had your number for the last couple of years. You hire this new guy, and now all of a sudden, this guy's right next to your defensive coordinator and telling him what kind of plays that Ohio State's going to run. Makes it very interesting. Like, they knew exactly what Ohio State was going to run, how their defense was going to go, even with the transfer of Jim Knowles. They knew exactly what Ohio State was going to do, when they were going to do it. So that gives them a competitive edge. And that's when everything turned around, in my opinion. I think they knew what these teams were running. And unfairly, the other teams had no clue. So, I mean, they didn't do anything to become elite overnight like these other schools.
Yeah, that's what this guy is saying.
The cheating point.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, plain and simple, I think they cheated. They did stuff. Yes, you can scout to steal signs. Absolutely. But you can't go to a game and videotape their signals during a game. You're not allowed to do it, and you are doing it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to come out and say, oh, I had no idea. They bull fucking shit. Just like Urban Meyer didn't know about his fucking assistant coach beating his wife. Just like Jim Tressel didn't know about these fucking tattoos. The fucking coaches know exactly what's going on in their programs. Joe Paterno knew the fucking rapes were happening. Coaches know. They're fucking liars. If he got caught, he should just fucking own it. Plain and simple. Own it. You got caught. Sorry. Move on.
Wait. So now, before we draw helmets and spin the wheel, are you going to jump on Riverside so that you can see things? So we can simulcast there?
Let me go get my laptop.
Okay. But before we do that, are you still on the phone now? Talking, Josh, while you're getting your laptop.
Yeah, I am. I'm just going out and get my laptop. Give me a second.
All right. So Ohio State, they obviously had a big win over Penn State this past weekend. So they've got two really good wins so far on their resume, beating Notre Dame and beating Penn State. Ohio State's offense doesn't look as explosive with Kyle McCord at the helm right now, but they're doing enough to get wins. But that defense looks like it's made the jump from okay to elite. Can Ohio State's defense keeping it in games, or is that's my question. Like, let's say Ohio State does play Michigan. I think the defense is good enough to keep it in the game, but can the offense score enough points? And if they do make it to the college football playoff, can the offense score enough points to beat a Georgia or beat an Alabama or beat a Texas?
So here's the thing that I'm seeing in college football.
Yeah.
I don't see a dominant team this year at all.
You're right.
Every team has their weaknesses. Georgia just lost their best tight end, their best weapon, and
yep.
Brock Bowers. He's gone.
Yep.
So their offense isn't as good, and it hasn't been humming all year. Alabama,
yeah.
Their offense hasn't been humming most of the year. Texas, again, they're a team that you could beat. Oklahoma, UC was pretty close to upsetting. They almost got beat last week. So they're not a scare.
Right.
Washington, they've looked bad the last couple weeks. They look vulnerable.
Wait a second.
Michigan honestly has been the
okay. But you say they look bad the last couple weeks.
Team.
They just beat Oregon. They didn't look great against Arizona State, but they just beat Oregon.
Well, they beat Oregon.
Weeks.
But you got to remember, they were up, almost 16 points on Oregon and let Oregon come back, take the lead, and then they won the game because of a missed field goal by Oregon.
I don't think they were up by 16. So at one point,
they were up by 16.
At halftime, Washington led 22-18. Then Washington scored a touchdown.
At one time, they were up by like 16 points.
They're not. I'm looking here at the score summary right now on ESPN. They scored first. Oregon came down, scored, got the 2-point conversion. It was 8-7. Then Washington scored and they made the extra point. It's a 14-8 game. Then Oregon scored a touchdown. It's 15-14. Washington scored 22-15. And then Oregon kicked a field goal. It was 22-18 at the half. Then Washington got the ball first. They scored a touchdown. It was 29-18. So that's an 11-point lead.
That is an 11-point game. Yeah.
So then, and then Oregon came and scored before the end of the third quarter to make it 29-26. And then they scored again in the fourth quarter to make it 33-29. And then Washington scored last, making it 36-33. So 29-18, an 11-point lead with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter is not exactly like they blew like a 21-point lead going into the fourth. You know as well as I do, 11 points is a two-possession game, and when there's 10 minutes left in the third quarter, that's a lot of time left. So it's not like they blew a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes to go or 7 minutes to go. It's a different story then, but if they were up 11 and there's still 10 and a half minutes to go in the third quarter. So I don't know, but you're right. There's no dominant team this year. There's just not. And even Florida State, right, has had some hiccups, right? They barely beat Boston College. They struggled to put away Clemson. But the last couple of weeks, Florida State's looked very impressive, blowing out Virginia Tech, blowing out Syracuse, beating Duke by 18 points. Duke was like the number 15 team in the country. So we'll see, man. I think Florida State's a pretty good team. If I had it, you know, it's only four teams this year. Next year it goes to 12, but I would have it, the college football playoff, if it started today. I obviously Georgia and Michigan would be 1 and 2. I'd probably have Florida State at number 3 and then Ohio State at number 4. But if Ohio State loses, whoever loses between Michigan and Ohio State, if the Pac-12 team, if Washington goes undefeated and Florida State stays undefeated and Georgia goes undefeated, obviously we're only going to have one Big Ten team in, and whoever comes out of the Michigan-Ohio State game. But I don't know, man. We'll see. Washington still has a tough schedule. Florida State, they're through the meat of their schedule now. They got Wake Forest, Pitt, who are not great teams. Wake Forest is 4-3, Pitt's 2-5. They get the Hurricanes, who are 5-2. That's probably their toughest game left, along with Florida Gators. I don't know, but and obviously Ohio State still has Michigan, so. All right, are you...
Not so fast, my friend.
Are you not on camera? Okay.
My camera ain't working.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right, cool. But can you see
no,
what's
I don't know
on my...
I don't know what's going on.
Okay, but you can you see on my camera if I share the screen?
I can. I can see your fucking... I mean, you're wearing a wife beater.
Yes.
You must be fucking beating your wife.
I do. Wow, you have such an echo, dude. You have a huge echo.
Let me turn the speaker off because you had one too.
Okay. All right. So let me go ahead and spin the fucking goddamn godforsaken.
Spin the wheel, bitch. Spin the wheel.
I'll spin it for Sam too. But I'm going first.
I mean, I don't even think it's going to matter because nobody's fucking doing anything.
No, I'm doing – well, I'm doing the –
I mean,
you're going to help me. Josh, you need to help me with the beer mile. And then I ordered the ring pops, so I'll have them next Wednesday because it's Halloween. Oh. So I'll have that. And then all I have to do is – and then this weekend I'm doing my 12 Hours of Cage. But I was hoping that – so you and Sam send me the movies that I need to watch, and then I'm going to pick one. I already got mine picked because I get to pick one, right, Josh? Is it one movie?
Yep.
For
which one did you pick?
Renfield.
Renfield, okay.
Okay. So that's my one. So then you guys got to send me the other ones, okay? And I'm going to knock that out this weekend. So I'll pay off 12 Hours of Cage, and I'll have my Phil Jackson done next week. And then we'll get together, and I'll do the beer mile. But I need someone with me, handing me beers and just making sure I do the full mile.
Yeah, I mean, Sam's version of Talk Like a Pirate, that was fucking dumb as
that,
shit.
That was terrible.
I'm going to talk regular, and then it's very arg.
Arg, aye, yeah.
Matey. That wasn't even fun.
No, that wasn't as fun. I think I would have done better with the Talk Like a Pirate.
Probably.
If, so the rules for the beer mile, here it is, Josh. So I'll do this when one of you is with me. Each competitor drinks 4 cans or bottles of beer and runs 4 laps around a standard 400-meter track. Start with chugging a beer, then run a lap, then beer, then lap, then beer, then lap, then beer. So we could probably measure out 400 meters. Beer must be consumed before the lap begins. And then, yeah, there it is. So basically I gotta run 400 meters 4 times. We could even fucking go to a track. Fuck. I feel like I'm going to puke. I'm probably going to puke.
Oh, you're definitely going to puke, bro.
And we'll post it on Twitter. It'll be the greatest thing ever.
yeah, pretty much.
Where are you? Let's see.
Funny, is we had a fucking hurricane hitting Mexico and a fucking huge-ass snowstorm hitting fucking Canada and the Northwest.
I saw that coming up. Fucking shit.
That's funny.
No, it's not. Okay, here it is. All right, time to spin the wheel.
Spin.
If I get ICP, you gotta help me do the fucking stank breath. Which is I gotta eat an entire raw onion.
Yeah, baby. Hey, that'd be perfect for the ring pops. You just eat that onion, suck on that fucking ring pop, bro.
Dude, that's gonna fuck up my stomach, but oh well. Okay, so we removed the stank breath, and now let's see what Sam had.
Oh, yeah, I thought, okay, you were spinning for yourself first.
Yeah. Oh, he got kitty manicure. All right. So, all right. Sam's got to let his kids fucking paint his nails. So that he can fucking do that shit this weekend. So, all right.
Dude,
so.
I don't see him doing anything.
He will. I have faith. I have zero faith. Okay. All right. All right, so let's see. Who's on bye this? Who are the bye teams this week on? So I can take them out of the fucking helmet game. So we got. Who's on bye for week 8? Shit, it normally tells you the bye team.
Your mom's never on a bye, so.
Oh, you're such a funny fucking guy.
Hey, I mean, I could talk about how you were bitching and crying earlier today. Oh my God, everybody hates me on fantasy.
First of all, I didn't say everybody hates me. I just get annoyed with everybody's constant bullshit. So, let's see. There's no buys in week 8. So everybody's on.
I don't see any.
Yeah, no buys for week 8. So let's do this. Josh, do you want me to draw first, or do you want to draw first?
Fuck it, I will draw first.
All right, here we go. Can you see the screen? Seattle. Seattle is playing. Who does Seattle play? They're playing Cleveland, and let's see what the line is. Seattle's playing Cleveland, and Seattle is 3.5-point favorites at home. Do you want to keep it or put it back?
Put it back. I mean, after last week with the fucking NFL, I don't trust the NFL. They screwed the Colts out of that win.
All right.
Take your balls and like them.
Well, you got the Saints.
The Saints. Fuck.
Saints are currently 1-point favorites on the road. 1-point favorites. So, wow.
Who they play?
The Colts.
Ooh. I mean, they could win. As long as they win, I'm in, baby.
Yeah, as long as they win, you're good, bro. Well, here's
double
the Patriots.
Whammy.
It's not the double whammy.
That's the
one.
Double
you
whammy
no
one.
Marking. That's not the double whammy one.
I
want to
see it. I want to see
the
back of it.
Look, there's nothing there, dude.
It was on the back. All right. Don't find it.
Okay, all right. So, Patriots are – who are they playing? The Patriots play – do I want to keep it? They've fucked me over. Oh, they're playing the Dolphins and they're 10-point dogs. I'm putting it back. Fuck that.
But Lou.
All right. I got Dallas Cowboys. And they are playing the Rams. They're 6.5-point favorites at home, so obviously I have to keep it. So we'll draw for Sam 2 helmets like we usually do, right? Right, Josh?
Yep.
Okay. All right. For Sam, first one. He's not going to like this one, the Broncos.
Ooh.
The Broncos are playing the Chiefs, and they're 7-point dogs. So we'll give them the option of that one, or let's see who his other option is. The double death.
Oh, he got the double whammy.
Wait a second, though. His first one was the Broncos. So obviously... if the choice is the Broncos,
well, don't tell him. Don't you?
What?
Let's text and see if he wants the Broncos.
Okay. Wait, no, but you have to let him know that he also drew double death, though, right? Like, it's not really fair because that's the second option. But, like, and he drew the – technically drew the Broncos first. So
– So, I mean, fuck. I mean, he's just going to have to take the Broncos.
Yeah, well, so we'll tell him. Sam, let me tell him his options here. Here is – let's see. Hold on. Sam, you drew the Broncos.
I already texted.
Oh,
Sam, you drew the Broncos first. Do you want that?
All right. Not a great matchup for him. But anyways, okay. So I was talking about as we drew the helmets and we spun the wheel, so we'll get back to some other stuff. But Josh, I was talking earlier, and we can drop off the Riverside now that you've seen. Now that we've done that, we'll leave Riverside now.
But I want to see your ugly ass.
Fuck you.
Even though you can't see me.
I can't see you at all.
John Cena, baby.
So, I'm dropping from Riverside now. So, anyways, all right. So Josh. Ohio State, do they have enough offense? Do they have enough offense to beat the elite teams this year? Their defense looks fantastic. Their defense looks like they can hang with anybody in the country. But is their offense good enough to put up enough points? We saw it got just enough done to beat Penn State. They got just enough done to beat Notre Dame. Will it work against Michigan? Would it work in the college football playoff?
I mean, that's going to be tough. Honestly, I don't think they have enough.
Okay.
They haven't had their running back, Travion Williams, playing. So, I mean, that's going to be a little bit of a boost, but and it seems like their rushing game, their offensive line is finally starting to give room to run, but Kyle McCord just looks bad throwing the ball. So
Is it Kleinholz time?
What's that?
Their backup.
I think the line's doing a lot better than what it was.
Well, no, is it Kleinholz time, the backup quarterback?
Oh, no.
No.
He hasn't got any snaps yet. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't put him in there yet.
So
and I mean, your other guy, Brown, he just got injured.
He just got hurt. And then their other quarterback is Tristan Gebbia, who's been playing college football for 15 years.
Yep, pretty much.
Gebbia started at Nebraska. Then when Scott – and he was a Mike Riley recruit. That's how long he has been in college football. Because Scott Frost was at Nebraska for 5 years, and Tristan Gebbia was a true freshman when Mike Riley was there, still at Nebraska. So that's how long he's been in college football. So, anyways, he lost out on the job to Adrian Martinez. Ended up transferring to Oregon State, where he was at Oregon State for a couple of years, started for a year or so. Then he transferred to Ohio State. So he's like their third string. He's behind Devin Brown. But I'm hearing some rumors because of the hype surrounding Aaron Nolan coming in that Kleinholz might transfer at the end of the season.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, they still got Devin Brown. They got Aaron Nola coming in. Kleinholz. Yeah, I think he's going to transfer out.
Well, and plus McCord is what? What year is he?
McCord could come back as a senior as well. So, but the Buckeye, Ryan Day needs a running quarterback. I'm sorry. Their offense looks a lot better with a running quarterback.
Did you post all these Bengals dresses?
Their offense runs better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, Josh. All right. So yeah, their offense runs better. I was wondering why you posted in our messaging chat all these Bengals dresses.
Because I meant to put it in our other group, my other group chat. So we're going to Jacksonville for the Bengals game.
Yeah.
So we're trying to think of like ideas on what we could do.
Okay.
And Lou, I'm not gonna tell you on here because I don't want anybody stealing my idea. But I'll call you after to let you know.
Okay.
A couple of us want to dress up like wrestlers.
Okay.
Then we're trying to figure out what the girls want to wear. So we're just throwing out different dress ideas for the girls to wear.
I see. Okay. All right, then. All right. So... Oh, shit, I lost my train of thought now. Fucking shit. All right, guys, let's...
No, you're talking about Kyle McCord can come back as a senior quarterback,
yeah.
So...
I'm kind of curious, yeah, because McCord's what, a sophomore or a junior?
I know he's a junior.
But, yeah. Now, see, this becomes interesting, and this is what we see all the time in college football. If Aaron Nolan comes in and wrestles the starting job away in spring practice or fall, somebody's leaving. Somebody's leaving, right?
Oh,
McCord,
McCord
might leave. Devin Brown might leave. Kleinholz might leave. Somebody. They're not all staying. It's just not happening.
No, Aaron Nolan, he could probably ride the bench for a year. But, I mean, it depends on what he looks like in the spring when he comes in. I mean, if he looks like shit, then, yeah, he's going to have to wait a year. If he comes in and blows everybody away, then that's your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
You got him for the next 3 years. He was pretty accurate from what I've seen. He can run the ball. He's got more of a spread. Kyle McCord, you know what you got with Kyle McCord. He's a pocket passer. Devin Brown, he's your more mobile, but he can't
throw the ball. And McCord.
And Kleinholz, he's your third string. Why is he your third string? He's a third string for a reason.
Because he's a true freshman this year, right? He's a true freshman, and he obviously.
If he was good enough to win the job and or be in the second string, he would have been there, right? That just tells me that he wasn't good enough to beat out the other two people in front of him.
I don't know about all
even
that.
As a two-session.
But, yeah, I don't know. But McCord, let's be honest with you, he's not getting drafted to the NFL.
Not unless he progresses majorly next year. If he's a starter next year and he's a lot better, maybe. But, yeah, he does not look good.
He doesn't look like an NFL quarterback to me. We're not right now, and usually you can see it in guys,
not right now.
even if they're not doing great, you can still see it in certain people. Like, I'm trying to think of the dude's name off the top of my head who ended up going. Kid from Purdue who's with the Raiders now, Aiden O'Connell, right? You watched him play last year. He wasn't on a very good team, and you're like, that guy could be in the NFL. And he went as a fourth-round pick, right? McCord obviously doesn't look like a franchise quarterback, but he doesn't even look like a backup at this point in the NFL. So he's going to, like you said, he's going to have to improve a lot if he wants to make it in the NFL. Otherwise, he's going to be just like one of these guys like a Greg McElroy, or even like a JT Barrett, who weren't great quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, you want to know, this Buckeyes team reminds me of the Craig Krenzel team that won the national title. They won it off the defense, not the offense.
They won off the defense.
Just enough.
But you know what that Craig Krenzel team had that this team doesn't have? They had
a running
workforce. They had a workhorse back that they could feed the ball to.
Yep.
They had Maurice Claret. And then the other time Ohio State won a national title, who was that workhorse back that was there? Zeke. Exactly.
Zeke?
Exactly. So
Trevion Henderson, everybody's like, what the fuck's going on with him? Like, what's going on?
I don't know.
So,
it's a rough one.
It's just strange with him.
All right. So let's go to our bracket before we talk some NFL. Okay. And let's go to our bracket here. We have our final four, Josh. And there was some very, very, very close matchups here in the Elite Eight.
Uh-oh. Did we get an upset, baby?
But Biff Tannen went over Principal Rooney with 55% of the vote. So very close there. Pretty close matchup. White Goodman takes out Bill Lumberg with 65% of the vote. Shooter McGavin takes out Draco Malfoy with 75% of the vote. And in our closest battle yet, Kenny Powers squeaks by Cartman with 50.8% of the vote.
50.8. I knew it was going to be Kenny Powers.
So we have a final four of Biff Tannen and White Goodman and Shooter McGavin and Kenny Powers. Ooh, that's a powerhouse final four right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought Cartman might squeak in. I really did. But Cartman couldn't quite get the job done. It was close, though.
Well, I mean, that's because Kenny Powers, I mean, come on. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Kenny Powers going off, saying all the racist shit, but...
That's true.
I don't know.
I don't know if Kenny Powers has enough to get by Shooter McGavin, though.
I don't think he does.
I think you're right when you called it. I think it's going to be Biff and Shooter in the finals.
Yep.
I will. If it's any other combo, it's a massive upset. If Kenny Powers or White Goodman somehow make it to the finals, it's a massive upset. So... All right, so since it's just you and me, I feel like we can talk some more local sports because we don't have Sam on this show right now. But the NFL trade deadline is looming, and we'll get to some more rumors in the meantime. But the Bengals, who aren't typically active at the trade deadline, should be looking to make some moves here. I would absolutely love to see the Bengals obviously go out and go get a tight end because Irv Smith, Drew Sample, they're not the guys.
I would love for them to trade for Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz or even like what's his name, Jelani Woods from the Colts, a young tight end with huge upside. The guy's like 6'7", 6'8". He's athletic freak, right? Someone like that. But
I'd rather have a proven talent that you can give away. Hey, I'll give you a 6th-round pick for Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
A 5th-round pick. I don't care.
Maybe a 5th-rounder. Yeah, and I think the Cardinals probably do that, potentially. Then the other guy I would love to see them go get is Chase Young. Let him come home to Ohio. I think if you put
but
him in
gonna
a room.
Play? I mean, who are you going to put him? You're going to put him on a bench and let him work and put Hubbard behind him?
You have that rotation, right? You have Chase Young, you have Miles Murphy, you have Hubbard and Hendrickson, and you just can keep rotating out edge rushers all game and get pressure after the quarterback, especially if it's only for a year, because let's just face it, Chase Young, I believe that his rookie contract was not picked up. So
correct.
Right now, he's in the final year of his contract. He's in the final year of his contract.
I mean,
so
and
if
he's
the
playing,
Bengals,
he is playing really good. So he might demand a big contract, and I don't think the Bengals want to do it.
They don't have to trade for him. Go all in on this season. Go all in on this season. You know what I mean? Like, see what you can get. See if that's an option, because I think Washington's obviously not giving them that contract. Otherwise they would have picked up this fifth year option. Okay. And if you're the Bengals, you don't have to pay him after this season, but
true.
Go out and get him. You have a front of Joseph Asai, Hubbard, Hendrickson, the rookie Miles Murphy, and Chase Young. They're getting after some people. And face it, what quarterbacks are you going to see in the playoffs? You're going to see Trevor Lawrence. You're going to see Tua. You're going to see Mahomes. You're going to see Josh Allen. You're going to see Lamar Jackson potentially. You got to have guys that can get after the quarterback. And you have a young secondary who needs time to continue to develop. And if you leave them there on islands against guys like Lamar Jackson, against Patrick Mahomes and company, they are going to get picked apart. But if those guys don't have time to process things and the quarterback's under duress, I like our secondary a lot more for that. So, as I said, I hate sometimes the conservativity of Cincinnati teams. I thought the Reds should have gone all in this year and tried to push for the playoff spot, because you never know what's going to happen next year. The Reds, by the way, against World Series teams, against the Diamondbacks and the Rangers, the Reds were 8-3 against those two teams this year. So who knows what would have happened in the playoffs? Who knows what could have happened if we had made it there? Same thing for this year for the Bengals.
I 100% agree with you on the Reds. I was upset that they didn't go out and get something.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was just fucking retarded. They should have went out and got something. They could have made the playoffs. And,
yeah.
I mean, they could have upset some people.
Mm-hmm.
They really could have. They had young talent, especially if you got McClain back just right in time for the playoffs.
Yeah.
That team's a different team. You know,
right?
So they absolutely do have. They do that, and I agree with you. I mean, I think it would be great to have Chase Young, and then you can definitely rotate and get after the quarterback a lot more. But I'm just looking at future. Like, what do we have to give up to get Chase? It's probably going to be a second or third round pick.
Washington's
going to want.
I'm okay with the third round, not in 2024, but if you give them a 2025 third round pick, and then you make it a conditional pick in the fourth round in 2026, like a conditional, like a fifth rounder that could become a fourth rounder if he hits certain snap amounts this season playing with him. To your point, you can probably get Zach Ertz for pretty cheap. The other guy I like that
another,
you get
another one cheap, I would look at
Terrence
honestly
Marshall.
is Dalvin Cook.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Not being used by the Jets anymore.
Yeah,
the Bengals obviously have a need for a second running back.
Yeah,
and I think that would be a perfect pickup for us. He could
yeah,
get right
he's on
in.
A cheap contract. He's on a cheap. But what about? What about somebody like Leonard Fournette, Josh? He's still sitting out there.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know why you don't just go sign
him
to a small contract just for this year.
I mean, I don't know why they didn't go out and get one of these running backs, especially if they can find them cheap. I know they were trying to figure out what they have with these rookies, Chris Evans and Henderson. And it just hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this offense doesn't look the same like it was last year with Perine back then.
Well, can you go trade for Perine? Josh, that's something I've been hearing. The Broncos aren't using him. They're using Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin. Why not go trade for Perine?
Depends on what we'd have to give up. I mean, I'd give up a sixth or seventh round pick, but I'm not going to give up a third, fourth, or fifth round pick.
No, definitely not. But I think you could get him for a sixth round pick.
I mean, if that's the case, I would.
Go get Perine.
I mean, the nice thing about the Bengals are going to get some Thomas Torrey picks this year for losing.
Yes, they are. They are.
Bell, Bates, and a few other players. So
if you look at it, the Bengals have the Bengals got a fifth rounder for Von Bell, and they got a seventh rounder for Perine. Okay, then they didn't get anything for Bates yet, which is weird. Maybe that's just why I don't know why they didn't get a compository.
They'll probably get a third round pick for Bates.
Okay, so. You think about it, for Von Bell, you can take that extra fifth rounder, trade it for Ertz or Perine. You know, let's say you trade it for Ertz, and then you take a sixth rounder and trade it for Perine, and then if you really wanted to go out and get, like, a Chase Young, you still have, like, a third rounder you could give to them. If you don't want to give up that, at least not in this upcoming draft, maybe you do it in 2025. You give up a 2025 third rounder. You know, and if they don't want to get that aggressive, I still would like to see them supplement their team. Terrence Marshall played at LSU with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. Why not give the Panthers a seventh rounder and bring him in?
I don't think we need him.
Okay.
I think we got plenty of receivers. Trent Irwin's right there. We got him. I think with him in the lineup, I think our offense looks more potent than it did with T. Higgins. That's just my opinion. You look at that Arizona game, Trent Irwin was open a lot.
Yeah,
and
I also like Yoshivas. I like Yoshivas a lot.
I mean, I know he's a rookie. I mean, I just haven't seen a lot of him. So, and then we also got Charlie Jones. So,
yeah.
Who knows what he's going to – so I don't think we need Terrence Marshall at all. We've got stuff there. We just got to figure out how to use them better.
Okay. Well, one of the other rumors I'm hearing a lot is that Jerry Jeudy's going to be on the move, that he might be heading to Carolina.
It would be helpful for Carolina.
That would be interesting. And then because the other rumor I'm hearing is that Thielen is going to be traded. to Buffalo. So the Panthers want to restart young. Jerry Jeudy's only, like, what, 24 years old? Thielen's 31. You send Thielen to Buffalo. Him and Diggs are reunited, like in Minnesota. And you get Josh Allen another weapon.
And it feels so good.
And Jeudy gets to go with Bryce Young, who I don't think they played together at Alabama, though, right? Jeudy had already been gone, I think. I think Jeudy was with Tua, right? At Bama?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Jeudy's been in the league for a few years.
Yeah.
I think he was under Hurts and Tua.
Okay. Okay. So
I was just reading an article. I know we were talking about the whole Ohio State-Michigan. So apparently Michigan had $15,000 set aside for travel to go scout different teams. And I think they said six of the games were Ohio State. Two or three was Georgia. So you can't tell me Michigan wasn't scared of Ohio State. They were trying to do whatever they could to get the competitive edge over these top-tier teams. They didn't have to with Little Sister of the Prairie that they've been playing the last few weeks because they're just a better school, right? But the big schools they needed to worry about, they were out there spending money to go do it. And that was just released tonight.
Interesting.
Yep, that's what I thought. And now I got a crying baby in here.
All right, well, you know what? Why don't you tend to the crying baby? We're at nine. We're past 9 o'clock now. Anyways, we got through a bunch of shit, and we will come back next Wednesday, hopefully with a full cast of everybody. So we got the Broncos, Saints, and Cowboys as our helmet picks. and I will be paying up some debts this weekend. So, Josh, get with Sam. Text me the movies I got to watch. All right. That is all the time we have. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back at it strong next Wednesday. Thank you for listening.
We cover all bases, face it, you can't erase us. Back and forth, watch where it takes us. Cultural topics and sports, baby, you know we got it. Always our response is amazing. All bases covered.